Joining her in the cabin is Professor Brian Cox and comedian Zoe Lines for a little bit of loveliness next.
BBC Sounds.
Experience the festive feeling wherever you are with music from the Mindful Mix, A Peaceful Christmas. A continuous flow of choral favourites to help you relax and unwind. Find music mixes to move you this Christmas. Download the BBC Sounds app to listen.
And with Christmas around the corner, or Yule as the Danes call it, Sandy Totsvig is joined by guests Professor Brian Cox and comedian Zoe Lyons to explore the Scandinavian notion of hygge.
Heaven's also stuck in the snow. All the cold come and ache see. For gamle sol er gået i skjul, den gemmer sig til jul.
Hey, come sit down. I'm Sandy Totsvig. Here we are, wrapped up in cosy layers and under a blanket, looking into the deep, perfect, velvety darkness of a Danish afternoon. This national obsession with hygge, or coziness, could explain why Danes rank consistently among the world's happiest people. I think it's also because by law, no one in Denmark is allowed to work more than 35 hours a week, even the Prime Minister, which means at some formal functions, she has to be replaced by a miniature Lego figure. I've been leafing through an old photo album. See, this is my grandfather, Harald Toksvig, who worked as an artist and a writer, and then my grandmother, who was a little chocolate rabbit from Sylvanian families. I think you can see quite a lot of her in me. Oh, this was a weekend in the summer when a few close friends and I came to the cabin and took a picnic down to the waterfront. There's, that's Wolf from Gladiators. He's being pushed into the lake by Delia Smith. look at his face. Oh, and there's Cher arm wrestling Bamba Gascoigne for the last wagon wheel. Ah, this was last Christmas when I tried to surprise Debbie by dressing up as Santa Claus. Or the Juleman, Julemanden, we call him in Denmark. But I ended up getting stuck in the chimney hearth. I think you can just see my shins in the fireplace there. Still, nothing a giant turkey baster and a few jars of goose fat couldn't solve. Oh, who's that? Hi, sorry, who are you?
Oh, yeah, well, my car's broken down outside, and I was just wandering around in the snow. I've been there for hours, and I saw your light on, so I'd knock on your door and say hello, and well, yeah, I'm cold.
Professor Brian Cox.
Oh yeah, I'm surprised you recognise me. Actually,
Sandy Toksvig. Do you remember me? We met one time.
Oh,
and, yeah,
of course.
Yeah. I mean, what are the chances? Well, how fantastic!
Yeah, in the woods.
Yes, you know everything. This is marvellous. I was just thinking. Come in, darling, because it's cold out.
Oh, it's cold though. It's just freezing cold. Can I just take the coat off and
let me get your blanket. Right. Put a blanket on your knees if you feel better. I'll send a text to the local garage about the car, but they will come by sled, so it's going to take a little while. Sit by the fire. Do you want a glass of something hot or...?
Absolutely. I've been outside
for
hours.
What do you fancy? Glühwein, maybe?
Glühwein would be perfect.
Yeah, Glühwein. And a ginger biscuit is just the thing. How has your year been?
As with most people, it's been unusual. In a normal year, I'm distracted by all sorts of nonsense, like television and radio and you know, drivel like that.
I can't think.
You're out in the woods, you're not distracted either,
right?
It's isolated. So this year, although, you know, as with most people, it's been unusual and testing and stressful, it's also given me a chance to think more deeply about physics than I've done for years.
And have you enjoyed that? Does that give you a sense of contentment to get up and think, I've got nothing in the diary today, I am just going to have a little think about an insolvable problem?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been learning things. I mean, the thing is, I always, if people ask me, you know, what do you do? Are you a television presenter or whatever it is? And I always say physicist. I think of myself as a physicist. And the reason for that is that I've always enjoyed figuring things out, understanding things about nature. That's what really excites me. And really, it's a lesson I learned at school, actually, when I wasn't very good at maths, because I didn't think you had to practice. It turns out that you have to think carefully and think deeply, and sometimes it takes days and weeks and months to understand something. But there's a great joy in spending that amount of time thinking about problems. And I discovered that sort of later in life, actually, when I got a D at maths in A-level and found out and then learned the lesson the hard way.
But you're right about the practicing. I think that's true of anything. So sometimes I get people who say to me, I want to be a writer, what shall I do? And I say, you must write every day, like piano practice, yeah. Something, anything. I don't care what it is, just to make sure that you exercise that bit of your brain that you want to improve. And it must be the same with maths, surely.
It absolutely is. And it's piano. That's the analogy I always use when I go into schools. And, you hear it quite a lot, actually. People say, well, I'm not very good at maths. I'm not a natural mathematician. But there are very few natural musicians, if you think about it. I mean, I play the piano. I taught myself how to play, but it took a long time. There's, you know, maybe the odd Mozart around, just in the sense of the odd Einstein. But most musicians and most scientists are just people who were interested and then did the practice.
It's about passion, isn't it? It's about approaching whatever it is you want to do with some kind of fullness of heart, do you not think?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think science is a response to nature. You have this wonderful nature outside in the trees, in the woods in Denmark, and you might, if you look at them carefully, start asking questions like, well, why are they green?
Mm.
For example, it's a good question. Why are trees green? Actually, we don't fully know the answer, and we sort of know. It's the chlorophyll, and it's about photosynthesis. But why exactly they throw away the green light? That's what they're doing, right? All the sunlight's coming down onto the trees, and they're reflecting the green away. They're not using it, which is why you see them as green. Why? Not exactly clear.
But then you know what it makes me excited?
Evolutionary accident.
It's like being a child. You know, when children keep saying to you, why is the sky blue? Why, you know, all of those things. I love that one continues to feel like that, to continue to say why about things. One of the best things anybody ever said to me is make sure that you have your answers questioned. And I think that's exactly right, because maybe we don't know what we think we know.
Oh, absolutely. One of my great heroes, the Nobel Prize-winning physicist Richard Feynman, wrote an essay in 1955 called The Value of Science. And you might think that what's the value of science? He'd talk about technology and all these things, and he does mention it. But ultimately, he said it's the mindset, and he called science a satisfactory philosophy of ignorance.
Oh, that's great.
And that's the most valuable thing.
That's fabulous.
It's because you have to make that leap to understand that we don't know. We don't know everything. And that's the key to science, understanding what you don't know. And then you're excited, and then you go and you wade out into the unknown. He actually likened it to democracy. He said, what's the value of democracy, really? The value of democracy is just that it's the admission that we don't know how to run a society. Mm. So we change. We change every few years. That's the most valuable thing. The same with science.
So I need to know, you know about Niels Bohr. Now you're in Denmark, we have to talk about the great Danish scientist Niels Bohr. Do you know what prize the Danish government gave him when he won the Nobel Prize?
I don't.
So he lived next door to the Carlsberg Brewery, makes famous beer. Yeah. And all he wanted was a tap directly from the brewery into his house.
Did he?
with beer in it. Do you not think that's the most... And the Danish government, well, yeah, I know that's perfectly reasonable. You've worked very hard. We're going to get you that. Do you not think
I love that. I used to live near a brewery in Oldham when I was growing up, actually. The J.W. Lee's Brewery. And I just remember it's down near my granddad's house. And I remember the smell. And I went in for the first time a couple of years ago. They let me in and showed me around. It's a family business from the 1850s, I think it started.
Well, if you're still living there, darling, you could have got a pipeline in from...
Exactly. Now, yeah, you give me an idea. Bohr was a great polymath, actually, wasn't he? He was a great social figure. He used to have big parties. So I can imagine the parties at his house were quite wonderful. He just walked up to the tap.
Yes,
in the wall.
No, just apparently it was above the sink. It was just, you could just go and get yourself a beer, and that was it.
Yeah.
I loved it. I think it's absolutely fantastic. So sugar is one of those words that doesn't fully translate. And it means to be comfortable and cosy with your friends. So like this, darling, sitting with you with the candles lit and the fire and it's cold outside and we're sitting in the warm and we're having a glass of something. That's hygge, and it's sort of indefinable feeling. Do you get that? What would make it hygge for you? What is the sort of thing that you think that translates into hygge for me? Can you be completely still and worry-free? And, you know, here we are in my cabin and there's no internet and there's no much access to the world. I don't have a phone line. Are you able to just sit and be in the moment?
Yes, and you've got the stars, of course, outside in the darkness.
Do you know what they did in Reykjavik one year? They used to, once a month, they used to turn out all the street lighting and the national radio would broadcast a lecture on the stars and everybody would go out into the street and stare up at the stars with no pollution from the street lighting. Don't you think that's wonderful?
It's a tremendous idea. Hmm. I mean, again, to quote another great hero of mine, Carl Sagan, he said that astronomy is a humbling and character-building experience because it forces you to think about your place, about what it means to be human. We've discovered we're not at the centre of the universe. That came from astronomy.
Yeah, I don't think everybody's discovered that, darling. I think there's one or two.
No, there's some people haven't, but it's... I mean, those stars, if you think about it, the most distant thing you can see with the naked eye on a dark night is the Andromeda Galaxy. And it's over 2 million light years away. Wow. It took light 2 million years to journey from that galaxy to your eye. So that when that light began, the light that's entering your eye when you see it, it began its journey before there were any humans on the Earth. We hadn't evolved when that set off.
That mucks with your head, doesn't it? Wow. Do you do anything else outside of physics to relax? Do you do any, I don't know, making things? Do you do carpentry or knitting?
I play piano. I've always loved just sitting down in front of the piano. I didn't have lessons, so I can't read music. I literally learnt the piano in order to be in a band. It was very superficial. I just wanted to be a pop star when I was quite late, 14, 15, when I discovered... You know, really got into music and thought, I want to be in a band, I've got to learn to play something, and just tried to learn to play the piano. We didn't have one in the house, so I managed to convince my parents to get me a mono synthesizer, because that's all we could afford, really. So it's one note, it'll only play one note. So I learned to play on a monophonic synthesizer, and managed to join a band, and then got myself a polyphonic synthesizer, and off I went. So I just love sitting there playing. I don't really play anything much. I just make it up. The mental state that I'm in when I'm playing is feels completely different to any other mental state.
Well, we've got a keyboard here in the cabin. Maybe I can get you to play something a bit later on.
You know, one of my favourite, thinking of Scandinavia, but also Finland, which doesn't count as Scandinavia, does it?
Not to the Scandinavians,
no. I've just got really interested in talking about nature, the love of nature, the reverence of nature, in a composer, Sibelius, the famous composer. And I'd asked a friend of mine, who's a conductor, what should Stanley Kubrick have used in 2001? What music? You know, where did he go wrong, Stanley? What music? And he said, Sibelius, Fifth Symphony, Third Movement. It's the greatest celebration of nature you could possibly imagine. And it is. And I hadn't heard it. I listened to it. And it conjured up these images in my mind. It's actually about swans taking off from a lake in Finland, not Scandinavia, but Finland. But it's the most powerful piece of music. It just conjures up images of the cosmos and an optimistic future and what we could become if we solve our problems here on Earth. It's just beautiful, beautiful piece of music.
Listen, you have to stay the night, darling, because not 1 minute from here, around the cabin, you didn't see it because it's dark, is the most wonderful lake. And the swans take off from the lake, we should go down. And you can hum some Sibelius to me, that would be fantastic.
It just is perfect.
And
music.
We'll go for a walk around the lake. And I always think of my father when I go for, long gone now, my dad. But he always used to say that the way that they did the seasons in his childhood was they would say, for example, oh, the rowan berries are on the trees, it's time to go back to school. That's how you knew in the autumn, because of the berries, the particular berries on the trees. And I love that. I think it's we all ought to be a bit more in touch and with the seasons. And if there's anything that I have loved in lockdown, it's that I have paid more attention to my garden and I've paid more attention to the trees, leaves coming and then going again.
I absolutely agree with that. I've noticed things. You can notice the pattern of the seasons anywhere, can't you? Mm. Wasn't it Orwell who said, didn't he write an essay once, and he said something like, the most wonderful thing about the seasons is they can't stop it.
Yes, yes.
it's a great poem. I love it. He just turned it round to politics. No matter how nasty and horrible they are, they can't stop that.
Mother Nature will win in the end. So if we walk down to the lake tonight, I mean, it's a bit cold, and see the moon over the waters, that just makes you feel good. Does that give you a sense of hygge? Does that give you a sense of kind of comfort to see that?
Yeah.
The nature in front of you like that?
You know, the more we learn about this planet, this place, the more we begin to suspect, I think, that there may not be many other places like this. Mm. You can make an argument, mainly based on biology, actually, rather than the astronomy. There are so many planets out there. We estimate there are something like 20 billion potentially Earth-like planets. Wow. In the Milky Way galaxy. The planets are all over the place, hundreds of billions of them in a galaxy. But actually, the number that have got complex life on the surface and in the oceans may be very few indeed. And you can make an argument there might be one per galaxy on the average. And that would mean that this natural world that we look out upon might be unique in our galaxy of 200 billion stars, which is quite a powerful thought, I think.
We'd better take care of it then, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, I've argued that science... It doesn't seem to be about meaning, right? What does it mean to be human? You might think, well, that science hasn't got much to do with that. But I think what we've learned is that meaning is a property of intelligence. It's a property of human brains. If there's no other intelligent life in our galaxy, in the Milky Way galaxy, then that would mean there's no other meaning in the Milky Way galaxy. It would mean that this place is one island of meaning in a galaxy of 200 billion stars. And that makes it tremendously valuable.
You're going to be the most perfect Dane, darling, because you're a philosopher. Should we just sit here? Should we have another glass?
Yes, so I think we should have another glass. Okay. and leave the car in the snow.
I'll go get you some
meatballs. And we can get it in the spring.
Yeah. Did you want to use the sauna before dinner? If you could just remember to close the door. The thing is, when Daniel Craig last used it, he left the door open. I don't think my neighbour's eyesight was ever the same again. I'll see you in a bit. I love an open fire. I mean, as well as being lovely and cosy on a cold winter's night, it was also a tremendous way of disposing of all evidence of my secret 2016 campaign to be Mayor of London. I have to tell you, nothing makes a cosy crackle quite like incinerating 700 baseball caps bearing the slogan, Sandy 2016, there's nothing like a Dane. Right, where was I? Oh, meatballs. Come in, I'm in the kitchen. Come through.
Hi, Sandy, it's me.
Zoe Lyons.
Yes,
hello.
It is.
Lovely. Come in, darling. I'm just getting some dinner ready.
Sorry, my boots are a bit messy.
Oh, do you mind taking them off by the... There's some felt slippers. Just pop those on. Yeah,
are
obviously.
Are they clean?
Are they clean? Welcome to Denmark, darling. Everything is clean in Denmark.
Okay, lovely. I'll pop them on.
Yeah.
They are nice.
They're like walking on clouds.
Aren't they?
Yeah, they're lovely. Have a seat. Do you want a drink? Well, I'm just going to do some stuff.
Oh, coffee?
Coffee? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So would you want? Do you know what I have? I have coffee with ginger in it. It's I learnt this when I was travelling. It's called coffee with medicine. And,
is it?
Yeah, it's delicious. Would you like to try that or just
no,
plain coffee?
Do you know what? I think you can keep your ginger. Well, I'll just have the coffee.
Just not adventurous. Not adventurous.
No, I like my coffee to taste like coffee. There are certain things I don't like mess with, and one of them's coffee.
What are the other things you don't like mess with?
It's mostly coffee, I'll be honest. It's mostly coffee, actually. I've thought about it. I'm just going to stick with it. Yeah, it's mostly my coffee.
Yeah. Okay. So also, there's some DIY to do later. I don't know. Are you very capable? I imagine you as a capable person.
I'm good with a hammer. And I quite enjoy a bit of saw work. But anything that requires any sort of precision or levelling out or anything meeting another thing for it to sort of...
Join.
Forget it. By the way, could I have frothy milk on my coffee?
Oh, I don't. I mean, what I could do is pour actual milk and go at the same time, and that
that'll do. That'll do.
Sorry, that's just no.
Okay.
I don't have a machine. I have a kettle, and I have coffee.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's all right. I'll make do. I think we're all learning to live with disappointment this year.
Yeah. Danes drink black coffee, darling. That's it. We don't really drink. We just drink what we call almindelig kaffe. So just ordinary coffee. It's just black coffee.
How dull.
Wow, okay. Just come here, dissing my country. So are you missing gigging? Are you missing standing up in front of people and being a fool?
I tell you what I'm really missing. I'm missing the green room chats more than anything else, I think. I think that's what I realised I was missing out on. I think like a lot of people, when March happened, there was a bit of me that went, oh, good, I'll never have to go anywhere again.
Yes.
I'm going to wear my slippers forever. And because like a lot of stand-ups, I've been travelling for years and years and years, and I just thought, oh, this is lovely. I could just snuggle down. But then I realised I was absolutely missing the camaraderie, the banter, the chats, the green room stupidness. That's part of why you go to a gig. In fact, it's probably 70% of why you go to a gig.
No, it's the politically incorrect jokes that you could never say in front of an audience.
No, never. Only comedians can talk to comedians the way comedians talk to comedians. It's, you know, we all know there's a little, hey, that'll go no further.
Yeah. We'll not mention that in front of anybody. Listen, I'm just, I'm making, I don't know what you know about Danish culture, I'm making kanseke. Do you know what that is?
No, I'm not familiar.
So the original name of it is more difficult. Can you say kanseke?
I can try in an attempt not to get myself into trouble. Kanseke?
Wow, okay. So it used to be known as Ohrflödighetshorn.
Ohrflödighetshorn,
yeah. So it's a cornucopia. It's a fantastic towering cake made of marzipan.
I am familiar with it.
Yes. Do you like the sound of this?
Yes. I do like the sound. Who doesn't like the sound of an enormous cornucopia?
Of marzipan.
Absolutely what my life has been missing.
I'm trying to think, because you're originally from Wales, are you not? Welsh?
Well, I was dropped in Wales.
Right.
I landed in Wales.
You landed in Wales.
And then we moved to Ireland when I was about 6 months old, so I hadn't started working in the mines or singing yet.
No.
Then I grew up, or both. So, and then I grew up in rural Ireland.
Oh, so being in the rural bit of Denmark is absolutely fine for you. You're used to it.
Yeah, I like it. Oh, I love the countryside. Yeah.
Why? What do you like about it?
Oh, I am and always have been fascinated by trees. I love trees. I'm very, very happy amongst trees.
It's really interesting because people that you wouldn't think were going to say that to you, it's become a thing people say now. You know, the Japanese have this thing, forest bathing.
Yes.
And it's just about being more comfortable with trees and feeling good. And I can't tell you how many people have now said that. I wonder if we've all woken up and gone, trees, I forgot how cool they are.
Well, this has been a thing for me since I was a kid, because my mum used to soothe me, apparently, by pushing me in my pram underneath the huge pine trees that grew near where I lived. And I would just for hours stare at trees. And it's never left me. I do love a tree. So I was hugging a tree only the other day.
So later on, I could just pop you in the garden and you could be quite happy.
Very happy. Very, very happy. Do you know, one of my finest purchases throughout lockdown has been a pair of fairly tough work overalls that I wear out in the countryside now, which I'm very proud of.
Yeah, but do you do actual work or do you just wear?
I have been working.
What have you been doing?
I have been working on a friend's property, cleaning their ditches. And I don't think I've ever been happier.
So cleaning their ditch, you've been making dikes?
I've been literally making dikes, because where else do they come from? So this is how it happens.
This is marvellous. This is most unexpected that you would end up doing that.
I mean, I just feel perfectly suited to it. I'm very at home. I have a sturdy shoe, as you can imagine. And a pair of overalls, and I've been cleaning out ditches. Yeah, I can spend hours in that ditch happily, just toiling away. And I think we've become so sort of removed from manual labour that actually, when a human being does it, it's like, this feels good.
Yeah,
I mean, people go up to Yorkshire and pay thousands to go on a dry stone walling course for 3 days with somebody called Pippa who tells them how to connect with themselves whilst handling stone. I'm in a ditch. It's free.
Okay, so what do you think? So I'm trying to do Hugo. What do you think of life in a log cabin in the woods? We don't have the internet. We don't have a mobile phone signal. We don't even have a TV, actually.
It's my idea of heaven.
Is it really?
It is absolutely my idea of heaven. Yes, it is. Firstly, I love a bit of wood. Always love a bit of wood panelling.
Yeah,
and if it's a wood cabin, then even better, you know.
Yeah.
I've taken to carrying bits of wood around with me. I actually have one of the other bits.
Oh, you really have?
I do have a stick in my hand. It's a really nice one. I found it on a walk yesterday and it's got such a soothing quality to it.
Okay. I wonder if you spent too long on your own, darling. I'm glad you've come to the cabin. I think it's possible.
I know. I've also got a bit of an acorn I picked up yesterday because I picked that because it looked like a little sort of...
Looks like a pipe.
Well, like a troll's pipe.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, well, there is a troll. Lives under the bridge. We could give them the...
Lovely. You can have a pipe.
Could you just pass me, darling, could you just pass me... See all those concentric rings in the cupboard there?
Yeah.
Pass me, I need those for the cake. If you just pass those to me.
Okay, right.
Yeah, thanks. Odd. No, well, so you have a big one, and then they go to smaller and smaller and smaller. You have about 14 of them, and that'll make the towering cake. You see, I'll cook each bit into. You don't care. Well, I've lost.
What's
you.
The main flavour of
marzipan?
Nice.
Yeah, I mean it's going to be delicious.
Wow.
So when you're in England, where are you living at the moment, darling? Are you living in nature?
I am living in nature at the moment. I have been in the New Forest for the last few months, which is about as nature-y as you can get. And I'm thoroughly enjoying it. Yeah. Having lived in the New Forest, I think my dreams and aspirations have been shifted somewhat. Now I think I'm less ambitious. It's just a different ambition. I would really like to buy myself a 20-year-old Land Rover Defender, some brown coloured cords and a gilet and just drive around the woods.
Be the mad old woman who
just
drives
fixing fences.
Drives
badly.
Too fast.
Yeah. With a flask, a tartan flask, and a little Jack Russell. And a wax hat. And maybe a shotgun, just to sort of give it an edge. But that's really... You know, if somebody went, do you want to do live at the Apollo? I was like, I'll tell you what I'd really like to do. Just drive through some mud in an old Defender, if that's all right.
Right, so I've got some jobs for you. Are you vegetarian? I can't remember.
No, sorry.
Oh, thank goodness, I struggle.
Okay.
Okay, we're having, I'm going to make, I think maybe some meatballs. Do you like meatballs?
Love meatballs.
Red cabbage?
Yes, very fond of red cabbage.
Yes.
Whether you'll want me still in your log cabin after I've consumed red cabbage, I don't know, but that's something to consider. We are in a highly flammable environment.
Yes, that's true. You can go to the outhouse.
Thank you. Do you do it the same way as the Swedes and have some sort of currant jelly with them?
Yes, you need to put a little bit of red currant jelly in and a little tiny bit of apple just to give it a bit of sweetness.
Oh.
It's the mixture of the vinegar and the sweetness that makes it so delicious.
And what meat are we talking?
Danish frikadeller, which is our meatballs, are 50% pork and 50% beef.
I mean, wholeheartedly in.
Are we good with that?
Yeah.
Are you all right with that? Would you chop wood for me? Would that be...
I'd be delighted to chop some wood. Have you got a hand axe or what am I using?
Yeah,
I don't think I can be trusted with a chainsaw.
Just an axe.
The
last summer we were at the cabin and I'd left the axe outside and my mother said to me, darling, you need to bring that in. And I said, why? She said, what if an axe murderer comes along? And I said, if he's an axe murderer, I'm going to guess he has his own axe.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think mine will not be the thing that tempts him into that career.
Yes, yeah, they usually bring their own tools. That's
I would have
what
thought.
I know about them.
Well, out there is one of the safest places on the planet, so you would go and chop wood in contentment.
Lovely.
And,
do you have any particular sort of size that you want?
I wanted for the... Because there's a fire in the dining room and one in the living room.
Yes,
so
I see.
If you could, so some bigger ones for the living room and smaller ones for the dining room, if you wouldn't mind.
I'll be happy as doing that. So happy.
You're lovely. All right, see you in a minute, and I'll rustle up a drink of some kind.
Fabulous.
Right, I'm off to get Zoe a drink and... get Brian out of the sauna. I might get Zoe to do that. I've been Sandy Toksvig, thanks to my guests, Professor Brian Cox and Zoe Lyons, for their wit and conversation, and to Charlie Dinkin and Simon Alcock, who, helped me with mine. The producer was Julia McKenzie, and it was a BBC Studios production. Hi.